Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have Father Edward Looney, part two. He'll give a reflection and much more.
Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have Father Edward Looney, who's written a new book called Praying with the Church Through Lent. And this is a real spiritual help for us to enter into the Lenten season and to better ourselves as Catholics.
And this is the second of two shows we're recording with Father Edward. So he's a Mariologist. He's a pastor of Sacred Heart Church in Shawano, Wisconsin. So We're happy to have him back this week. We're now going to a reflection with Father Edward Looney.
On the Friday of the fourth week of Lent, the priest prays at Mass after he says, "Let us pray. O God, who have prepared fitting helps for us in our weakness, grant, we pray, that we may receive their healing effects with joy and reflect them in a holy way of life." We think about those fitting helps that the Lord has given us. In our weakness, that prayer said, and the weakness of our life is our sinfulness, that sometimes we choose that which isn't good, that we choose that which is wrong. And so God has given us a fitting help, the sacrament of reconciliation, where we can confess our sins, receive absolution, and begin again. There are so many other fitting helps that the Lord has given us as well. For example, the fitting help of Mary, who prays for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. The fitting help of adoration, where we go before the Lord and we pour out our hearts, where we make known our needs, where we say, "Lord, I need your help." The fitting help of his divine mercy as we reflect on his passion and as we ask to receive the grace of his mercy. There are so many fitting helps that the church offers us, and they bring about healing effects in our lives, in our relationships, healing effects so that we might be made whole again.
Well, Father Looney, welcome back to Life on the Rock. And just to continue our discussion on the book you've written on Praying with the Church Through Lent. It's a great read. I've enjoyed it very much. But I think as Catholics, it's really important for us to enter into Lent, the Lenten season. And sometimes I think there's quite a bit of confusion that comes with Lent. You know, what is it? What really kind of embodies the spirit? How should I approach it? Is it just about giving up chocolate milk in the morning? Or what is it? Is it about giving up something or doing something? How would you describe it?
Yeah, I would say it's about falling more in love with the Lord. You know, through Mass, through prayer. Of course, we have the three hallmarks of the Lenten season. Everybody talks about prayer, penance, and almsgiving. Mm-hmm. So that kind of guides the course of our Lenten observance. But when we pray the Stations of the Cross, like meditating on the Passion of Jesus, and I personally love St. Alphonsus Liguori, and yes, I love his meditations on the Stations of the Cross. You know, some people might think they're old and antiquated or whatnot, but I just love the phrase, you know, "I love you, Jesus, and I repent of ever having offended you." And like every station, he has you say that. And if you say that over and over again, well, hopefully you come to mean it at some point.
Right.
And so I think Lent's all about turning back to the Lord. And the reason why we need a yearly observance of Lent, as one of the prayers says, is we need this. Because we do go astray, you know, we maybe do start faltering in our prayer life. We kind of, you know, maybe we have our set prayer routine, but then summer comes around and then Christmas happens. And it's just this great spiritual reset, I think. So the church has great wisdom in giving us this season.
And I think we need to be too aware that there's the divine command of repent and believe in the gospel. Because so often we just kind of hold on to sin and say, I don't need to give it up. I might give up maybe this or that sin, but there's certain sins that we're not budging and we're not going to move. And we almost don't want to be affected by Lent or the grace. And so sometimes, again, we have to overcome ourselves, even those maybe spiritual weaknesses that we have. And I think, too, just to make it, again, as we mentioned on the last show, making Lent intentional, because it's easy to just kind of coast into it and then give up.
Yeah. You know, we really, you know, in that struggle that we might face about like kind of rejecting what God wants to do. Mm-hmm. Well, if we become aware of like God really wants to break into our lives, and that, you know, and I think maybe sometimes we hold on to, we clutch on to whatever favorite mm-hmm. sin of ours. And the Lord is just saying, let go, mm-hmm. and you're going to experience freedom.
Yeah.
And so we just have to accept the Lord and give ourselves permission to trust Him. And isn't that the beautiful thing, that right after the season of Lent, we have the octave of Easter, and then mm-hmm. we have Divine Mercy Sunday, and we just say, Jesus, I trust in you.
Yeah.
And it really helps us to make that declarative statement.
Yeah, and I think, too, again, with Lent, it's really kind of focusing our attention to the upcoming passion, death, and resurrection of our Lord. You know, just the great mystery of redemption. You know, our birth into eternal life. You know, as Christ came down, you know, as we're baptized and we participate in that. And I think there's so much that we can take for granted. Mm. That these are truths, they're lofty, they're heavy, but in a way, sometimes they don't even affect us. We can be immune to it. We just say, I'm just gonna live however. But really, our Lord is calling us to a deep relation with Himself.
Yeah, so we can live our lives indifferent, and we can go about our merry way without the Lord, but it won't be merry. Mm-hmm. You know, we will lack happiness. You know, one of the readings recently at Mass, it said something to the effect of, you know, like being a tree planted by the water and being nourished by the Lord. And you know, I think about this plant that I have in my office and how like I sometimes don't water it, it kind of dies, mm-hmm. and then I water it, it comes back to life. And I just realize in my own life sometimes, like, if I'm drifting from the Lord, like I'm this dying plant,
right.
Like I got to go back to the stream. I got to go back to those things that I know that give me the spiritual life mm-hmm. that the Lord wants to give to me.
So Father, you've been looking at a lot of these collect prayers, I'm sure, as you've been writing the book and everything, but was there any one that actually kind of spoke to you or impacted you?
Yeah, you know, I could probably recite any number of them. Mm-hmm. You know, towards the end of Lent, there's like a Friday of Our Lady or something. There's a prayer for Our Lady. It's very beautiful, but that's one. But one that just really calls out to me a little bit is actually, you know, we talked about Ash Wednesday, and mm-hmm. it's the Thursday after Ash Wednesday, and it simply says, prompt our actions with your inspiration, we pray, O Lord, and further them with your constant help, that all we do may always begin from you and by you be brought to completion. And I think as we enter into Lent, that the Lord is inspiring us, and maybe, mm-hmm. you know, we have different ideas of what it is we're supposed to do. Well, trust that the Lord's revealing that, inspiring that, test it and see if that's really what the Lord wants you to do. I think too, sometimes the Lord or the Holy Spirit, the Trinity will inspire us, and we're just not ready to respond.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, when I read that prayer, what immediately came to mind and when I prayed over it was just this experience I had one time in the Atlanta airport, I think. I was flying back from a vacation. And as I was in the airport, I checked in at my point of origin. And there was this man in front of me. He had a duffel bag that didn't zip. He wanted to check the bag. The agent was really annoyed, thought like, why are you wanting to check a bag you can't zip? That's not right.
Mm-hmm.
And so the agent said, just take the bag. It'll fit on the plane. Like, just get away. And like, I felt within like this inspiration, like maybe I should stop, buy this guy a bag that zips. You know, he was a migrant, it looked like, or something along those lines. And so I heard the inspiration. I looked for a store. I knew where the guy was going because I was standing right behind him, so I could go find him. But I went to find him, and I couldn't find him. And so it's like I didn't respond to what the Lord was asking me to do. And now, you know, in my life, I repent of that because I could have done the Lord's will, made a difference in someone's life, brought the gospel to someone, and I chose to be a little afraid and wanted to get all my ducks in a row before that would happen.
Yeah, and I mean, Well, trying to find someone in the Atlanta airport is not easy to begin with. But I think, too, even just that voice, and I think, too, kind of interesting about that story is that sometimes what we're called to do may be a simple act of charity. You know, it might be inconvenient, but when we hear that, that, you know, it's probably the Holy Spirit talking to us, you know, because there's a risk. Well, it might put me behind on my schedule or something.
Yeah.
You know, but at the same time, you know, just to have that awareness that the Lord, whatever our circumstances are, is constantly talking to us in ways that really draw us to, I think, a greater life, a good life.
Yeah. And in that situation, you know, it would have been the action of almsgiving, like denying myself, helping someone else. And I simply didn't allow myself to get out of the way for it to happen.
Yeah. But we have to go to a break, but whenever we come back, let's get into some of the spiritual weapons that can help us go through Lent. Well, Father, where do the collect prayers come from in the church?
Yeah, so the church has celebrated the liturgy for hundreds of years, for centuries, for, you know, a very long time, really since Jesus celebrated the Last Supper. Mm-hmm. But of course, it becomes more formalized over the years. Some of the prayers of the church become a response to heresy. You know, we think of how we recite the creed at every Mass, and that was really to affirm what it is that we believe in about Jesus. Or, you know, our Eucharistic prayers, like the second Eucharistic prayer was written by St. Hippolytus of Rome, it's believed. And So you have all of these different prayers that you can trace, you know, some origin and whatnot. I know that in the, you know, kind of 900s, early 1000s, you know, there's different missals, like I think it's the Gallican Sacramentary or the Missal of Gaul or something like that. I think some of these prayers emerged too out of the monastic tradition as well, that you know, the monasteries, they were praying every day. And so they kind of gave the formal structure to a lot of the liturgy that we have. So the church pens these prayers and maybe drawing upon the writings of the saints or incorporating some spiritual themes as well.
Yeah, and I think too that's real important, just the whole monastic tradition that, you know, these prayers were also preserved, you know, before the printing. Somebody actually had to handwrite, just like the Bible, to keep all this together over the centuries, which is an enormous task of, you know, the monks and religious sisters that, you know, we're involved with that work of really preserving a lot of the treasuries of our faith. But what are some of maybe the spiritual tips as we enter into Lent, some of our spiritual weapons that we can use?
Well, of course, there is that sense of penance, like, what am I giving up for Lent? And, you know, there's been that great surge of Exodus 90, you know, in the church. And, so, you know, whether it's social media or television or all these different things that they recommend giving up or whatever. And so to identify what it is that, what do I have to die to myself to? Mm-hmm. In order that I could live more in the spiritual life. So that's definitely one of them. Of course, there's lots of different devotions, whether it's, you know, going to the Stations of the Cross, you know, speaking of EWTN here and whatnot, Father Joseph Mary, I saw it, the religious catalog has, you know, Mother Angelica's Stations of the Cross. It's in a little devotional booklet, and I picked one up. I'm like, I want to pray with this sometime during the Lenten season myself. So the stations, people commit themselves to, if they don't pray the rosary every day, maybe a more regular rosary routine during the season of Lent, maybe to incorporate it for the rest of their lives, hopefully. And that's really the goal, is like what we do, hopefully it changes us forever, for the rest of our days. that whatever discipline we take on. But holy hours, that's another one, just sitting in the presence of the Lord, pouring our hearts out to the Lord, but then receiving the graces that He's pouring out to us as we sit there at His feet, as we listen to Him, as we draw close to Him.
And you're also a Mariologist. You do a lot of work with the study of Mary. But in what ways can Our Lady kind of help us journey through Lent? And I know, too, a lot of people will make, like, the consecration, like, through St. Louis de Montfort to Our Lady and everything. And I know there's those things, but maybe just on a personal level, how can Our Lady enter into our lives?
Yeah, especially during the Lenten season, simply like to walk the stations with her, to contemplate her presence in the Passion of the Lord. You know, this is what the Friday of Sorrows, this prayer to Our Lady in the liturgy, says. And I think it kind of sets a good framework for Lenten observance with Mary. O God, who in this season give your church the grace to imitate devoutly the Blessed Virgin Mary in contemplating the Passion of Christ, grant, we pray, through her intercession, that we may cling more firmly each day to your only begotten Son and come at last to the fullness of his grace. So to imitate devoutly the Blessed Virgin, you could just take that as a standalone. But then the continuation of that is in contemplating the Passion, to really think about the fact that Mary experiences the Passion, but then she continues to experience it again and again. She relives it. She was there. And so in her own spiritual life, she would have meditated upon Jesus's death so often. And in the mystics, like Anne Catherine Emmerich says that Mary, when she was living in Ephesus, that she had a little trail that she walked, and that along that trail, she had all these different stones, kind of like the stations in a sense, and she would stop and contemplate the death of her Son at each one of those spots. But even when she was in Jerusalem, mystical city of God, Maria of Agreda, and Catherine Emmerich both say that she retraced the steps of Jesus's Passion. So if we look at the Passion through her eyes, I think we're going to come to a new appreciation of it. And Our Lady can give us that. She can obtain for us that new understanding of her Son.
Yeah. And I think, too, her obedience to faith is a big one, too. Because a lot of times, again, so often our minds can just forget God, forget the truths of our faith or religion. Although we hear it all the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, the church preaches daily in so many different ways. But just, you know, and just kind of you're talking about in that, just that airport experience, just listening to that voice, those promptings, and just kind of heeding that, of just following where the Lord wants us to go. You know, it can be scary, but, you know, it, in many respects, it's pulling us out of ourselves, which is another, you know, part of the Lenten experience, so that we grow in Christ. But just having that, I think, sense of obedience to our Lord.
Yeah, it's obedience, it's humility, it's, you know, dying to ourselves, it's letting go of our pride and being humble before the Lord. There are so many different virtues of Our Lady, you know, it's faith, it's hope, it's love, it's purity, chastity, all these things, that when we look to her example and we begin to imitate it, it's going to change our lives.
Yeah, and I think too, being humble before the Lord, I think also the church sets this time kind of apart for us, you know, with the purpose and the intention that we go to confession, that we make a good confession, a worthy confession, and that we really kind of, again, kind of start the restart button, because we need to, you know, it's already, I know we make like a New Year's resolution, but usually that falls apart, but we need to make it spiritual.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the church, again, it provides that sacrament for us. So what words of encouragement do you have, maybe for those who need to go to confession, just to go?
Yeah, definitely just find the local church, find the time for confession, examine your conscience. You know, Our Lady really helps us, I think, to do that. Mm-hmm. In her apparition, she's drawn us to the commandments, like respect for God's name, honoring the Sabbath, all of that. And she encourages us. Mm-hmm. In Fatima, she told Lucia, go to confession for the five first Saturday. So Mary wants us to go to confession and to have that a part of our spiritual program. Whenever I go to confession, and I go about every 2 weeks, I would say, well, there's always this lifting of whatever. And like sometimes I will be, you know, you could tell, like, okay, we're drawing close to the 2 weeks. Like, I just need God's grace. And as soon as you go, yeah, like, the weight of sin lifted, you feel like a new person.
Yeah. And I found, too, the reflection questions really help us in that examination of conscience, you know, as we prepare for confession.
Yeah.
But, Father, we've run out of time. But I thank you for being on Life on the Rock.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, one of the things that really kind of struck me during Father Looney's discussion I had with him was really just being attentive to that, to the voice of inspiration that the Holy Spirit gives to us, and kind of just those ordinary moments in life. And I think Lent is a great time for us to really become really attuned to God's voice.
Amen to that. Yes, and there's these seasons, the liturgical seasons in the Catholic Church, have graces with them, mm-hmm. You know, graces in Lent, especially to focus on repentance, of really trying to let go of our sin, as Father Ed said, and turn to the Lord in a deeper way. So, yeah, it's a privileged moment. I know you said you read those collects, those mm-hmm. opening prayers as part of your prayer practice. That's excellent. It's so accessible today. You know, you can look them up online, you know, apps have it or whatever, and just to prayerfully read them, and I guarantee you, they will lift your mind and heart to God.
And it really takes maybe 10 to 15 seconds.
Yeah.
There's a lot of meat there to meditate on, I think. And again, they're beautifully written, and we're drawing from really the wisdom of the church. Yeah. And we can see just that light that she brings to us.
Yeah. You know, as Catholics, you know, we stand on the shoulders of giants. I mean, saints and some of these men are brilliant, you know, and beautiful writers and things like that. So, you know, it's not like we're just making this up in our generation or something.
Right.
So it's just a wonderful treasury of graces and prayers and wisdom to make Lent real for us in our preparation for Easter.
I mean, Lent was old during the time of St. Bernard of Clairvaux. So it's been around for a while.
Right. Well, we'll send you that vineyard with a blessing. May our Heavenly Father shine His face upon you. May He give you His peace. May He make your prayer life fruitful, and you may know a new union with our Lord, crucified and risen from the dead. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next week on Life on the Rock.
Into the heart of mercy that bore my shame and broke my chains at Calvary. Thy love poured out and saved by grace, you lead me home. Into the heart of God, into the heart of mercy.
I run to you, your arms are open. To the heart of God, into